Coming up on Patriots This Week.
You want to take your mind off football?
I'm going to go visit my brother in Cleveland and probably just be two old guys chilling.
Now, it's bye, bye, bye. And the Patriots were in sync with the week off coming exactly at midseason.
And I think it gives us a great, you know, midpoint to realize what we need to fix.
It's back to work in Foxborough. And Gronk knows exactly what the offense needs to work on.
Finishing the drives and putting points up on the board.
Now, it's on to Denver. The Broncos may seem busted, but they would love to spoil any Patriots party.
When you play good teams, I think the margin of error is even more slim.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
With a bye week behind them, the Patriots have their bags packed. Five of the next six on the road at 6-2 as they've traveled past the midpoint of the 2017 season. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Sosi with my radio partner from 98.5, the Sports Hub, alongside former Patriots linebacker and special teams ace, by the way, three-time Super Bowl champion, Matt Chatterman. Guys, hey. The Kansas City Chiefs fall over the weekend to the Cowboys while the Patriots were idle. So all things told, a good weekend for New England.
It really was. I think if you concentrate on some of the favorites, not favorites, but how the AFC is shaping up, I think it's a three-team race. I think it's New England, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City. Yeah. Throw it whatever order you want to throw it in. But I think we're learning a lot about Kansas City. You go back to Kansas City, not week one. They came in here. They kicked their butts. Kansas City's a team that is very good when they're in control of the game, when they're out in front of it, to where, you know, you can do the read option, you can do the jet sweeps and all that. When you're down by 10, when you're down by 14, and all of a sudden you got to be an offense that's predicated on pushing it down the field, you know, route combinations. You really can't podunk people as far as getting the fake, getting it to Travis Kelce when you're down by 14. So I think it gets things starting to play out to where they better take care of business. So I think Kansas City's going to find themselves in trouble late in the year.
To me, it's sort of relative to this AFCE race. And I think what the East has this year is three average teams and the Patriots. And all three of those teams on any given Sunday can be dangerous. None of those teams can run the record. They're not going to get 10 wins out of really any of that group, most likely. But they're each respectable enough that you can't look past them in a single week.
There's different ways I think you have to worry about teams. Yeah. And I think there's a different worry with Denver with the element of playing out there, and they got two pretty good corners. This is going to be a tough game.
Well, I think one of the benefits, though, here, too, is if you look at the East, I do think that you obviously get a lot of crap in this division for it being weak, right? The years and years of the Patriots just dominate the thing. I think there's more strength 2-3-4 as far as being okay than you get, say, what Pittsburgh's dealing with. Cleveland is a joke. You know, Cleveland's a team that doesn't provide much of a challenge to anyone. There's a lot. Indianapolis right now is really struggling. There are other divisions where some of these teams are going to be fighting for playoff spots that have a lot easier path within their own division. I think the Patriots are dealing with playoff teams, but they're dealing with good teams that can be a trouble on one week.
All right, that's the overview of everybody else in the AFC. Yeah. The Pats are going to play a lot of AFC East games down the stretch, but first they've got this Western swing with a detour south to Mexico City to take on the Broncos, then the Raiders. However, Shea McClellan was a guy we were all in anticipating being back on this defense by week 10. That's not going to happen.
And there's a human side of this, and it's tough for Shea because I think he was a guy that they took the precautionary measures with in the offseason. We were hopeful that he'd be ready for week one, give him a nice break, let that portion of your body heal and rest, and then, oh, no, he's not quite ready. Good. Precautionary again. Give him a long stretch of time. Now you've had a considerable amount of rest. You get back out there, you get an opportunity to practice, and there's a setback. We don't know the specifics of what the setback is, but you presume it's up there, and that's unfortunate. You know, you hope it doesn't affect the guy's career. You hope that he's able to heal fully from this and go back to doing what he was before.
By Belichick's own description, the Patriots' defensive line was like going into the Chargers game. Now they've got to take it on the Broncos, and you figure Denver's going to try to reestablish its running game. Then Marshawn Lynch and the Raiders, so the Patriots try to beef up on the interior defensively. They sign Ricky Jean-Francois.
It's a big guy, big name. It's a quick plug guy. This is not like you're solving any problems here. And I think this is a sign of maybe what's going on with Malcolm Brown. We're never going to know the details of the injury. We never do. But it's sad because that guy was trending in the right direction. I thought he had two of his best games as a Patriot prior to getting nicked up with the ankle when he went out. This is why guys like Allen Branch have got to turn that corner. And I think Allen, you know, kind of he got a little kick in the bum there a couple weeks ago. And I think he's better. So I think he's going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
Alex like hits his front line, you know, so he's got to take that.
They needed girth. They needed the bigger bodies. And we were talking about, you know, bye week needs and where there might be trade deadline stuff. And to me, in my head, the one spot that was a little bit close to the edge was the big bodies, right? It's Branch, essentially, that's left, and Lawrence Guy, who's really a bigger defensive end. Without Malcolm Brown and Vincent Valentine staying on IR indeterminately, we don't know when that's going to change or if it will change. I thought they needed a bigger body. So he's heavy, but he's not just straight, you know, old-school Ted Washington nose guy. He can play the nose if he need to be, and he can also play defensive tackle position. So he's versatile. If the defensive tackle has played comparable techniques, he can come in and get it done.
One of the main issues going into the bye, red zone inefficiency. How do you think the Patriots addressed it during the off week?
I think they're going to do a lot of things formationally, meaning they're going to spread things out. Get to the bunch, get to the spread, get gun, and make sure you either have Deion Lewis, James White, or Burkhead in the backfield. No offense to anybody else, because what I'm going to talk about here is hitting the checkdowns. You're going to run routes because Gronkowski is going to command so much attention down there. You're thinking red zone, they're going to stuff it to the big tight end. He's going to draw three guys on him. It's about the little angle routes. Get it to these checkdown guys. Get those screens. Kick it to them. Those are your best runners, those backs. Those three backs have such a good skill set. Get into their hands. Let them pick up 7 yards. Dink and dunk these guys. Get in the end zone.
I think with Gronk, again, it just from experience with tall, long, not Gronk particularly, but longer, taller tight ends, you have a chance if it's a fade. You have less of a chance if it's a breaking route, because once they break, their length is too much for a guy who's not as tall to deal with, a safety especially. So when you get down that area, getting him cutting in or out and then just fitting the ball in like Tom does. I think finding more of those situations where you find ISO, but it's not ISO to throw a fade or not ISO to throw a back shoulder thing or ISO to do a go route. It's trying to work him in and out of breaks. I think he's an incredible weapon. I'd be interested to see how they use him here going forward.
Philip Dorsett, we haven't heard much from him since week two in New Orleans, but with Chris Hogan's status a bit uncertain, he figures to get more reps.
This guy's had the playbook back in his home for 2 months, right? For a couple months, he's been able to sit with the coaching staff, learn from his position coaches. There's been games where he's contributed. He's had a catch.
Brady's not afraid to throw the ball.
Yeah, he's
already half the battle.
He's had a catch or two or three, but just those concerns that are reasonable when a receiver comes in here new to messing up, not knowing sort of how to read down the field and being on the same page with the quarterback. You should be past that now. So if you want to get to a position where he's a 4 or 5 target guy, that should start to happen.
All right, we'll look ahead to the Broncos and the Patriots coming up a bit later on. But next is Spank Shots right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on James White. Now in his fourth season, the fourth-round draft choice from Wisconsin has become an integral part of the Patriots' offense. The 5'10", 205-pounder is the team's leading receiver with 43 receptions. And it is his Super Bowl performance that will endear him to Patriots fans forever. The 25-year-old now holds 3 Super Bowl records. Most receptions, most touchdowns, and most points, including the ones that capped the greatest comeback in championship game history. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue on Patriots This Week with our Bank Shots, welcoming in NFL insider Don Banks. And Don, the Giants lost again, now 1-7, giving up 51 points to the Rams last weekend. Seemingly the fans have quit on the Giants. Has the team quit on Ben McAdoo?
Well, all the signs are there, and I do think big changes are going to come out of this. This obviously started better with Ben McAdoo, 11-5 last year in a playoff berth, but 1-7 and a half-empty stadium, I think that's going to get the Mara family and the Tisch family to be proactive this offseason and make changes.
And when Tom Coughlin was forced out, Jerry Reese stayed. Do you anticipate if they make a change at head coach, they make a change at the GM spot as well?
I do. I think it's going to be a sweeping change. I think Jerry Reese may be actually first in the unemployment line. He's had a good long run, but I feel like the shelf life has been reached. And I think McAdoo is probably following him out the door.
You know, the Mara family, the Tisch family, have great respect for a certain head coach here in New England. Do you think they think as highly of an assistant coach here in New England?
I would not be surprised. That makes so much sense. It almost has to happen. Josh McDaniels, perhaps Nick Caserio. I think, you know, in some ways, those two might look at New York. One, it's a very stable, patient franchise. And two, there are pieces there that they can win with. So in some ways, you know, this looks like a great second opportunity if Josh McDaniels gets that phone call and decides to pursue it.
Meanwhile, a former Patriots offensive coordinator down in Houston, Bill O'Brien, dealing with all kinds of adversity. Deshaun Watson, of course, felled by the knee injury. Tom Savage just not able to get a going quarterback for them.
Yeah, I don't think Tom Savage goes out there the rest of the season. Based on what I saw, obviously, in the first half of the week one opener against Jacksonville, and then last week, he really only played well in the fourth quarter. Look, they got T.J. Yates. They just signed Josh Johnson. Obviously, Colin Kaepernick's still out there. They admitted they at least have talked about him. I think it's a very tough situation because the Texans know this is a very winnable division still, and this playoff berth is still very much in play. What are they going to do at the game's most important position? It's been a night and day drop off after Watson.
The Buffalo Bills go to the Meadowlands and they lay an egg against the New York Jets. A case of a team on a short week going on the road and just having the Thursday night blues, or did that reveal the true character of this Buffalo Bills team?
I want to believe things are different in Buffalo this year with Sean McDermott, but that loss really got my attention because once again we saw Bills team just as they were starting to get a little national attention, a little buzz, a little playoff hype. You know, they did the turtle shell thing and they couldn't take the limelight. I really want to see how they play this week at home against the Saints, a team that's won six in a row in first place, I think, going to the playoffs. If they can handle that game, maybe this isn't the same old Bills.
Don, as always, appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
Don Banks with us. Matt and Zoe are back right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, welcome back from the bye time now for the Zoe Show. It's Denver week. Now, they got a lot of weapons, right? Weapons on the outside, Demaryius Thomas. Let's go to the tape. I want you to freeze it right here, though, because what you're going to ultimately see is the bunch formation. You're going to get motion across. Go ahead and motion that guy across right here. Now it's about communication, right? Stephon Gilmore getting close to being back out there. Got to communicate back here. They got a tight end named A.J. Derby. Who? A.J. Derby, former quarterback. Remember, he was here, former six-round pick. This guy's got 18 catches. He's very effective because why? Trevor Siemian, freeze it right here. Trevor Siemian, you got a young quarterback, so you're going to use that ball control. Play fake, get it to the tight end. He's down here on the bottom, so all the attention up here. Go ahead and roll it. They give him a nice little pocket right here. Step up. There's a nice little route by that tight end. Walls the defender off, uses his body. And now, typical Denver stuff right here. Motion going away. Here you go. Little motion here, little play fake, slip him out, and it's the old Will route right there. So it's misdirection, it's play fake, it's get the ball to the tight end, ball control offense, plus Brock Osweiler is playing. He's going to find his tight end. Find A.J. Derby and we win.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as we turn the attention to the Patriots and the Broncos this Sunday night. And guys, the Broncos a few weeks ago shut out for the first time in 25 years. Last week, giving up 51 points in an embarrassing loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. They're on to their second quarterback this season under first-year head coach Vance Joseph. What do you make of this Denver team with five losses now, including four straight?
You look at that defense, that front is not what it used to be, but they still have two corners. And when you have two corners, and you know this from playing defense, you can lock guys up man-to-man. You can cause a lot of problems, especially if Chris Hogan's not playing in this game. I think one of the most non-talked-about stories is the departure of Wade Phillips from the defense.
Yes.
Wade was one of the best defense coordinators, not best head coaches, best defensive coordinators. He fit their scheme. He fit those players. They believed in him. And he called every single series right. He'd mix it up. He'd confuse like Tom Brady. You know, when you're confusing guys like Tom Brady, you're doing something right. Now, he had the pieces we talked about. The Wade scheme, I think, is a lot better than what they're running right now.
Yeah, and it's weird to me that, okay, they had the transition with the head coach. I get that. Vance was a guy that there was a relationship with. They felt comfortable in making that move. It makes a little bit of sense. But I felt like the greatest asset that Denver has been that defense. So why you wouldn't want to stick with continuity there was odd to me. And he goes to another place. They still played pretty good defense for a month and a half of this season. But you saw in that Eagle game, the first time it just seemed like it it relented. It's like the offense hasn't scored for a month, and all of a sudden the pressure has just become too much. And those situations, shoot, in the years where Denver was winning, there were a lot of weeks where they weren't scoring either. And Wade kept the guys sort of with ball disruption high and still kept them in games. You get a sense now, if that group starts to let up, this could go from being a competitive team to potentially a bad one.
Well, there's been anything but continuity at the quarterback position for them. Even when they won the Super Bowl, of course, they had the change from Manning to Osweiler back to Manning again, and they won really despite their poor quarterback play that season down the stretch.
I know people are looking at Brock Osweiler now, thinking of the Houston, the Cleveland-type Osweiler. Mm-hmm. He was 5-2 for Denver that year, and for whatever reason, Gary Kubiak knew how to use him. It was under center. He's 6'7". When he's in the gun and he's got a size 15 feet spread and he's doing this thing, like motioning down to the ground, it's awkward. It is awkward. It's like taking a center in basketball and making him run point. He's out of position here. Get him under center. Get the running game going. Play action fake him. He's athletic, former basketball player. Get him on the boot. Get him on the boot. Drag that tight end. Get Demaryius Thomas on a double move. There's things that he could do. I thought he could throw the deep ball really well.
That's the best thing he did.
He still does. Take some chances. What do they got to lose?
So what happened with Gary Kubiak, I think what he did well with him is reduce the read. And Zoe knows this as a quarterback. If they want to put you in seven-step drop every play, you have to read all five targets, the whole field, all that stuff.
You're right. When you're booting one way, you're not looking to the other half of the field. It's either check down, tight end, or throw the ball deep.
A couple layers that are motioning your way. That's helpful. The one thing that – there was one of the worst interceptions that Osweiler had a week ago against the Eagles where they put him under center. It's a hard play action fake to a running game that hasn't been working, so no one bites on it. And he comes out of the fake and directly goes to the slant, cornerback's squat on it, interception going back the other direction. And the problem is, I think his game has devolved so much that he's not reading things. Right. It's like they've almost put him to the point where they want to give him a single read. They know he can fling it. Let's hope they bite, get some space, and fit it in there. And if they can't, we're screwed.
They still have C.J. Anderson, and Jamal Charles has been an addition. But they didn't run it well against Philadelphia. 35 yards total rushing offense last week.
It's on Atlanta Roberts. If you're going to pick gaps and shoot it, you better get the guy. Or you're going to see what happened like 2 weeks ago against the Los Angeles Chargers. Almost at San Diego. You miss containment, or if you're Cassius Marsh and you get blown off the ball, I don't care if this is this year, 3 years ago, whatever. They got Anderson that could get, and that zone blocking scheme that they like to do, wall guys off. These guys can still run it and huck it up in there. It's a dangerous game. Dangerous game.
It'll be interesting to see what the Patriots do this week. Folks, keep your eyes out for a guy named Trevor Riley. Number 51, got a handful of reps.
He's good on special teams.
A week ago with San Diego, and came in and set the edge nice. And it looked like he got brought in the game because there was an edge problem the series before.
Quickly, you used the term dangerous game. You think Denver's going to be a desperate football team this week?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, nobody's running away with that division. The fact that Dallas knocked off Kansas City, I think, gives them hope because you're still within two games there. You know, they got three losses. Denver has, what, 5-3-5 versus 5-3? 5-3 is leading that division.
Yeah.
It's doable.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is it's a prideful group. I mean, Von Miller is still one of the best in the game, and it's got to be tough for him. You go out and watch film. He gets that strip sack on Foles. He blows by. I mean, he's basically doing it by himself. There's Aqib Talib is still there. You know he's a prideful guy. You know he's they got good players.
This is the type of game that they're going to say, this is one that could get us going.
Get it going.
If Brady
exactly.
and New England coming to Denver, the place is going to be wild.
Sunday night, Patriots playing in a stadium they haven't fared well in over the years. They've lost 7 of 10 under Bill Belichick in Denver against the Broncos. Back with predictions right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios this Sunday, Patriots who've won 4 straight against the Broncos who've lost 4 straight. Scott Zolak, do those streaks continue?
I think the Patriots are going to win this game, Bob, and it's going to be a grinded-out type game. 27-23. I think they're going to need a touchdown, late touchdown drive to win this game. Denver, desperate team, tough place to play, and I think we're going to be able to run the ball. Game changer, Rex Burkhead again. I'm going with Rex Burkhead. Sorry, Matt.
I just stole my guy.
Controlled passing game. Not from the handing off, but I think Brady's going to use him in the red zone and fix some of those issues.
All right. Well, Zoe ripped me off. I was going to go Burkhead. I think that's actually a great choice by him. I'm going to go Patriots.
Go James White, man, because it's one or the other.
Yeah, I'll go 27-16, though, with the Patriots and a little more comfortable win. They're not going to quite get to that 30-point mark we want to see in the offense. But my player of the game is actually going to be on the defensive side if I have to go to the area, other side. And I'm going to go with Patrick Chung. I think your box tackler is very important in this kind of game to not get Anderson going and to make sure that Derby's not a big part, make sure there's no shots in the middle of the field, and you control the running game. That eighth guy in the box, he'll be important. Chung with a big game.
So boxed out on Burkhead, you go into the box with Chung on the other side. Well
big,
done.
Big box guy.
Big box.
All right, we'll talk about the Patriots and the Broncos next week and look ahead to the Raiders and the Pats as well. For Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, and Don Banks, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks for joining us on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.